Good evening. This is TNT Radio, brought to you by Bloggin Broadcasting Service. And I'm Nevin Campanella, your net reporter. Well, folks, tonight we're going to do things a little bit differently. Most of you by now are aware that my voice is pretty rough. I have my lovely wife here with me this evening, and she is going to do part of the news broadcast. Basically, what she's going to do is read some of the very specific articles, either out of the national news or the blogs. Now, my next note says, comment. Do I have any comment? Nope, not a thing. So let's go for it. My next legitimate note is talk show host announcements. Oh, this is funny, folks. I gotta tell you what happened tonight. Somehow, I decided that, gee, would it be nice if I write an email to all the talk show hosts, say to them, hey, guys, since I'm on the air every night, five nights a week, if you have a few announcements, send them on to me. Boy, did I get announcements. It was interesting. Anyway, I wrote back a few times, and I think we got it down to a low roar. Now, I'm going to go through them and in a very general manner. I don't have any addresses, no URLs for this or anything else. I'll try to give you the name of the person, and if you want to find out more about the announcement as to where it came from, you would go to the BBC Radio Index page. Now, how hard is it to get to that? Not very hard at all. Go to blogginservice.com. You know how to do that, folks. It's real simple. Then, at the very top of the page, you're going to see BBC Radio. Wherever it says BBS, wherever it says BBS Radio, click on it. That will take you to the talk show host. Fish around in air, and you will find out where they are and what's wrong about. That squeaking you hear in the background, that's a little dog named Mickey. She barks at everything. She barks at shadows. I think she's just kind of nervous. Oh, I hear a phone ringing. That's right, folks, you guessed it. I'm right here in the studio. All right, let's get on with the announcements. This is from Carolyn Evers. My show, The Messenger. Whoops, I'm competing here with sound. My show, The Messenger, coming up this Saturday, is listed on the page as all about Archangel Michael. While this is true, we will have news about what is going on in Yellowstone Park. So please ask to tune in for news about Archangel Michael and Yellowstone National Park. And that's by Carolyn Evers. Folks, I have no idea what that national park, Yellowstone National Park thing is about. Anyway, check it out. Go find Carolyn Evers on the BBS Radio Index page. Another one, Nevin. Let's see, some kudos for me. I will be, listen to this, folks. This is from Lexi. I will be distributing Impeach Bush bumper stickers. Any chance you could make that announcement and refer them to me? You got it, Lexi. They now know where to go to get those bumper stickers. Folks, you got to go find Lexi on that BBS index page. This is from a lovely lady, Denise. Hi, Nevin. A huge story broke last night. You can read it on the News Trader. And it is posted there, folks. Just go to TNT News message board. The guy that owns Hutchinson Company has direct ties to the Illuminati. And if someone does the homework on Hutchinson, you will see how crazy this is. I just thought I'd bring it to your attention because you are the beloved newsman. Well, thank you, Denise. The issue is, and she's got a little BS on here, basically we have given a Hong Kong company with major ties to the Chinese military control over ports in the Bahamas to check out our ports for radiation and nuclear devices. You know, folks, we made the same stupid mistake back in 1938. You know what we were doing in 1938? Japan had this huge hunger for scrap metal. And we kept sending them scrap metal. Boy, they couldn't get enough of it. Anything, whatever it was, an old car, an old refrigerator, any kind of junk we could send, boy, they would eat it up. You know what? They sent it back to us. Yeah, they sent it back in the way of bombs and planes. Remember Pearl Harbor? Pearl Harbor got nailed by planes made out of that scrap metal. I wonder what else we're doing now. Interesting, huh, folks? You know, they say history repeats itself. I think we're in for it. This next announcement is from Melinda Pillsbury Foster. She has a segment on a show called A Tough Love. Anyway, BBS Radio announces an exclusive interview with another victim of Ada L. Smith, State Senator for New York, to air on Sunday, March 26, 2006, 10 p.m. Pacific Time. Do tune in, folks. You'll get an earful. Let's see. Next one is from, one of my best friends, one of my absolutely most bestest friends, Nancy Leader. Apparently, there was an interview with Shirley MacLaine. Now, you want to catch this one, folks. Shirley MacLaine interviewed Nancy Leader, and it will air this coming Sunday. There is a link that I have directly in my notes, and tonight, tomorrow morning, if you go to tntradio.blogspot.com, you'll see the link. Anyway, do listen to that. As a matter of fact, I'm going to try to listen to it if I can get to it. Sounds fascinating. Oh, by the way, I've been in love with Shirley MacLaine ever since I was 13 years old. Beautiful woman. Next, from James Galland. Let's see. He's got some news notes here. CNN poll, where now 82% believe there is a government cover-up on 911. Well, you know what, folks? You can put me in that group. I do believe it. And if you have any doubts, I urge you. I really do. I urge you to look at the video made by Michael Moore. I mean, it says it all. Okay. Also, port sold to arms smuggler Mr. Lee from China. Looks like we are going to have some new leadership real soon. A little sarcasm there, folks. I guess maybe we're all going to be speaking Chinese pretty quick. March 28th, energy peaks. It is an uncovering, quickening energy, exposing everything and accelerating the reaction of karma. That would be a good news story. James, it most certainly would. And you know what, folks? Things are quickening. I mean, they're moving so fast, it makes my head spin. What used to seem to take weeks and weeks to occur now seems to occur within minutes. I'm absolutely blown away by how fast things are occurring. And you know how, like, you say you do something and you say, oh, my God, I'm going to pay for that one. Let me tell you, you're going to pay for that one, not tomorrow, next week, but within about 4 seconds from when you did it. Everything is speeded up. This is from Dr. Turi, lovely gentleman. Let's see. Announcement. The modern-day Nostradamus will be on the air on Sunday. Let's have a great show. Go for it, Dr. Turi. Another announcement. This is from my fun friend, Wynn. Winfrey is going to have a free phone conference hosted by him, and it will be on Dimensional Shift. next Wednesday and Thursday at 7 p.m. Pacific time. Now, here's a phone number. And pay close attention because I got to give you a PIN number with it. The phone number to call to get in on this wonderful conference is 218-936-1100. Now, pay attention. There's a PIN number you're going to have to put in. And it is 64009 pound sign. Don't forget the pound sign. Otherwise, you ain't going to make it. Okay? You got to have both the phone number and that PIN. And if you lose it, get in touch with me. Everybody knows my email address by now. Just a quick note. This is from Rochelle Sparrow. Now, her show used to be called the Rochelle Sparrow Psychic Connection. It has a new name, a new date, and a new time. It is now the Rochelle Sparrow Connection, Sundays at noon, Pacific time. Remember, folks, all the times that I announce for PBS Radio is in Pacific time. Okay, where are we at? Some notes. Show host trial night. Folks, we have a wonderful, wonderful system now in place. You know, people are writing in all the time. Everybody wants to be a talk show host. Frankly, I don't know why. I really don't. Most of you know I do Wonder World Radio one night a week on Sunday nights. Now, my show, unlike many of them, strictly interview. I interview an interesting guest, and it doesn't have to be metaphysical. They could be raising flowers. It could be anything. I do enjoy the interviews. It keeps me active and interactive with people. However, I'm also well aware of the talk show host that is doing something other than interviews. And that is an informational flow on a specific area. I don't know how they do it. I really don't. I'd get bored. I would. I mean, if I had to talk about TNT or BBS radio all the time, I'd get really bored. After a while, you just kind of run out of spit, which is one of the reasons why I like the news show. It gives me a chance to do something new and different. And don't forget, I do this five nights a week. We had a little mix-up on our first trial night last night. We let the intercom on. Yeah, we did. So for the first 20 minutes of the first trial night, the intercom was left on, and the listeners were listening to all the chatter going on in the studio. Well, folks, that's live radio. And that's why I love it. You never know what's going to happen. You really don't. Every day is different. Every minute is different. Live radio is like a ride in Disneyland. It really is. Absolutely fascinating. You know, I've heard people complain, oh, the mics go down, the power goes out, the phone goes off. Hell, without that, it'd be boring. That's the fun part. It really is. You never know what's going to happen. Now, my wife tells me that there's no such thing as a coincidence. Therefore, if you look at what happens on live radio, you got to start wondering, okay, why do things go out at a certain time? Why do the phones go out? Why does our equipment drop? What is it all about? I mean, I got like 80 billion questions around those concepts. And my good friend sitting behind me, Doug Newsom, tells me it's all inside me. All I got to do is go it in. He's the meditative man. What did we do last night? Hey, we introduced Jeff Belay. I hope I pronounced that right, Jeff, if you're listening. It's really difficult. B-E-L-Y-E-A, so I'm pronouncing it Belay. And wonderful, wonderful man. He did the tryout last night, did absolutely marvelous. And you know what? He was the one that got nailed with all the chatter in the first 20 minutes. A real trooper. And that's what live radio is about. Can you be a trooper? In other words, can you put up with the stress? Can you put up with the unknowns? Can you handle it? He did great. By the way, Jeff is a master in meditation, and he's also certified as a hypnotherapist in hospitals. I think, and I'm going to guess on this one, I think he's in the Northeast right now. I'm not really sure. I know he's on the East Coast somewhere. Jeff, if you're listening, I'm sorry, bud. I can't remember. But I heard an accent when I was talking to you in your voice, and I heard that Nor'easter accent. Now, I'm not calling you a fishwife, but I heard it. I did, Jeff. Tune in, folks. Jeff now will be on Mondays at 1 p.m. How is this show different than everything else? Jeff is a very down-to-earth, straightforward kind of guy. No funny words, no magical terms. You got a problem, especially, by the way, with nicotine smoking. Jeff is going to give you practical guides as to how to deal with practical problems in the real world. Well, we put in a whole bunch of new equipment tonight, and Don Newsom, the chairman, got it all working. He lost a lot of hair into it. It got to a point where he was pulling his hair out. But finally, by about 5 o'clock, we did get it working. And we had a number of people that kind of got cut off the air today. But they're troopers. They are really troopers. They do well. So, you want to be a talk show host? Well, my answer to you is, it's really hard to maintain that position. It really is. And if you really want to do it, and you want to do it well, then there are some things you need to know. You know, if you cruise around the net and listen to talk shows, most of the talk show people sound like they're dead. Yeah. They never raise their voice above a whisper. They got a deadpan. No animation. You sound like you're dead. Or maybe they think you're speaking to the dead. I don't know. But they never get animated. Talk show host is all about a performance, folks. And BBS Radio is about entertainment. That's what this is all about. If you're listening right now to this news report, you're looking to be entertained. It's true. Do you give a damn what's on the news? You might. But if I get really boring, you're going to turn it off. That's what will happen as a talk show host. You get boring, they'll turn you off. We are going through some major changes, one of which is the 55-minute segment. Now, that means that all shows will be in a 55-minute segment. We are gearing up for AM and FM affiliates. Now, unfortunately, that 55-minute segment is just a start. At some point, I'm going to have to start reducing it down, eventually, to 45 and possibly even 40 minutes. You see, folks, if we go to AM/FM affiliates, they want an exacting schedule, and they are going to demand 15 to 20 minutes of non-show time for their commercials. Okay, this date in history. Tell you what, folks, I'm running out of spit here a little bit. I'm going to have my lovely wife give us the what happened on March 24th in history. Jill, would you do a little bit of reading here for me?
Well, I sure will, Nevin. So, March 24th, 1765, the American Revolutionary War, the Kingdom of Great Britain, passes the Quartering Act that requires the 13 American colonies to house British troops. In 1832, in Hiram, Ohio, a group of men beat, tarred, and feathered Mormon leader Joseph Smith, Jr. In 1898, on March 24th, Robert Allison of Port Carbon, Pennsylvania, becomes the first person to buy an American-built automobile when he buys a Winston automobile that was advertised in Scientific American. March 24, 1972, the United Kingdom imposed direct rule over Northern Ireland. March 24, first, in 1930, Steve McQueen, American actor, director, and producer, was born.
Thank you, Jill. You know, I do this every night, you know, what happened in history. And some of it you might be interested in. Some things are really important. I want to get to this March 24th one in 1972. The United Kingdom imposes direct rule over Northern Ireland. And there's been a battle ever since, folks. And you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. That poor country, Northern Ireland, has been in an uproar ever since. And many, 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 many people have died. A very sad situation. You know, I don't know what the right thing is in the United Kingdom. I really don't know. I do know that when a people come together and say to the rest of the world, we want to be free, then maybe it's time for somebody to start paying attention. That, you know, folks, it's a difficult question to answer. Should Northern Ireland be free? Should it be out from the control of the United Kingdom? I don't know. I do support their desire, although I wonder about their ability to actually govern themselves at this point. I admire the Irish. I really do. But when we're talking about Northern Ireland, folks, you get into Northern Ireland and you're talking about tribal war. And it all goes back to religion. You know, we talk about all this religion problem between the Muslims and the Christians. Folks, it's going on within the Christian organization between the Catholics and the Protestants. And that's what Northern Ireland problems are all about, folks. Yeah, that's right. It all comes down to religion. What else can I say? Steve McQueen, 1930. He was born in 1930. Well, a great American actor, director, and producer. By the way, he died in 1980. I always enjoyed his movies, but you know what? It always looked like he had his lips stuck through a tube when he was trying to speak. But he was a good actor. I really enjoyed his movies. Okay, where are we at? It's 6:23, and my first report here, this is reported on Matt Drudge. However, it really is, Matt Drudge picked it up from ABC News. Bush makes me sick. You know, I got a link to this, but it's on a flash link, which means that after tomorrow it'll be gone. What is it about? Well, everybody got their shorts into an uproar because a top producer in an email. Listen, you got to understand what's going on here. This top producer at ABC News, he makes a statement, Bush makes me sick. Well, somehow that email was obtained by the Drudge Report. I don't know. I don't know how they get these things. I mean, do they sneak around people's desks? Are people printing out emails and then tossing them in the garbage? I don't have a clue. Anyway, because it was a producer of ABC News, yeah, everybody got mad. Well, Bush makes me sick. Actually, probably makes all people sick. So why should we not allow a producer of ABC News to be sick by George Bush? Folks, If you think that a news reporter, I don't give a damn who they are, doesn't have an opinion, you really got your head stuck up you know where. Everybody's got an opinion, folks, including producers at ABC News. Obviously, I do. Why shouldn't they be able to say what they feel? I'll say this about what happened. The Drudge Report got a hold of a private email. Now, this is a private conversation going on between a news producer and who knows what else, whom else. Somehow the Drudge Report gets hold of this. What did it do, fall into their lap? No, folks, there's no way it fell into their lap. It's called spying. This is what some people will do. To get news, they will spy on you. And one other thing I need to say about the Drudge Report. Why would the Drudge Report go around sneaking behind desks? I don't know how they do it. Pulling up people's emails or however they do it. Well, you got to understand something about the Drudge Report. The Drudge Report is the newspaper of the right-wing element of the USA. That's right, folks. The entire Drudge Report is controlled and operated by the right, actually the fanatical right wing. Okay, enough on that executive who got into trouble because he said in an email, Bush makes me sick. If he uses the mixed messages line one more time, I'm going to puke, Green complaint. My wife just pointed that out to me. So, you know, I feel the same way. I feel the same way. Does George W. Bush know what he's doing? I don't think so. Now, some people have said that it's a plot. You know all the government conspiracy stuff. I don't think George Bush is smart enough to tie his shoes. How the hell could he get involved in a conspiracy? We're talking about a man who got elected, probably through the processes of other people. And I would suspect that those other people, through a lot of shenanigans, are Rumsfeld and Cheney. That's how he got elected. Is he involved in conspiracy? George Bush doesn't know what's going on. The man is just not smart enough. Now, there is some rumor. Listen to what I'm saying. This is rumor only. That maybe he's a drinking man that occasionally drinks a little too much. I have no evidence of that, but I hear it a lot. From My Way News. Now, listen, folks. I'm going to have Jill read directly two sentences from this particular news item. It's about what's going on in South Dakota regarding their new legislation against abortion. Now, please pay close attention, because this bill is so damn stupid, you got to wonder what they're smoking in South Dakota. Jill, would you please read this?
Sioux Falls, South Dakota, this is from Reuters, abortion rights supporters plan to launch an attack on Friday on a new South Dakota abortion law designed as a direct challenge to the U.S. Supreme Court decision that legalized abortion 33 years ago. South Dakota Governor Mike Rounds, a Republican, signed the law, widely considered the most restrictive in the nation, about 2 weeks ago. The measure bans nearly all abortions, even in cases of incest and rape, and says that if a woman's life is in jeopardy, doctors must try to save the life of the fetus as well as the woman.
Thank you. Folks, can you believe this? Tell me, what kind of people make up state legislatures? What are these people smoking? I mean, this is crazy. Absolutely nuts. Now, look, I understand the issues around the abortion opinion. It's a sad story. Everyone feels one way or another very strongly. There are very few people in the middle. I mean, when it comes to the abortion issue, you're not going to get a shrug of shoulders. Everyone is either on one side or the other. However, how could they be so stupid as to pass a bill that would ban abortion in cases of incest and rape? This is bizarre. First of all, you South Dakotan legislatures, all I can say is you must be a product of incest. You've been procreating a little bit too close to the gene pool, you damn fools. Do you know what you get with incest? You get idiots. And that must be making up the government of South Dakota, including Mike Rounds, the governor. How can it be so damn stupid? Absolutely bizarre. You know, I keep being told that things are moving faster and quicker. Well, here's a good example. What are these people trying to do? Bring us back to the Dark Ages? Now, I don't have the link. I'm going to try to find it for you. But in reaction to this stupid law, I don't even know if this is in my notes, there is a website called Molly Saves the Day. Now, all you listeners out there, anybody who's listening, go to Google, type in Molly Saves the Day, go to that website. I hope it's still up. What is it about? She was so upset over the stupidity of this South Dakota abortion law that she developed a website with self-instruction. Listen to this, folks. Self-instruction for a DNC. Basically an abortion. What are we coming to? Are we going to go back to coat hangers in back alleys? This is sick. This is absolutely sick. Now, if I get a chance, I will try to get that link into these notes when I publish them tomorrow morning on tntradio.blogspot.com. And all our notes get published there. Okay, next. This is an opinion, okay? It comes out of the New York Times from one of the editors. And it says, speak softly and carry a smaller stick. Jill, would you read the direct quotes I have here?
Recent opinion surveys affirm that isolationist sentiment has increased in recent years, notably a survey by my center and the Council on Foreign Relations last fall reported that the percentage of the public who said that the United States should mind its own business internationally and let other countries get along the best they can on their own rose to levels seen during the mid-1970s following the Vietnam War and in the 1990s after the Cold War ended. And a companion poll of opinion leaders found that they, too, had become less supportive of the United States playing a world leadership role.
Thank you, Jill. What is that telling us, folks? We're finding out that the American opinion right now, right here and now, is that we need to start taking care of business at home. I mean, we seem to be all over the planet. Where's our military? Do you know how fractured our military is? I mean, if there really was a real serious threat, I don't know what we would do. Our army is distributed around the globe. And yet, they keep beating the drums of war in Washington. Why? Some people tell me it's a distraction. If that's true, then whatever is coming our way, is going to be really, really bad. We need to start minding business at home. Who are we to keep telling other countries how to run themselves? All of a sudden, we have become the police of the planet. We've not only become the police of the planet. What's really sick in all of this is we've become preemptive. Up until the George Bush administration, we never actually went to a police action or war without a cause. In other words, somebody kicked us in the shins, or somebody kicked a good friend of ours in the shins, and we punched back. That's not what happened in Iraq. Folks, that's what George Bush Sr., but not George Bush Jr. George W. Bush Jr. initiated a preemptive strike. Folks, do you have any idea of how dangerous that is? Think about it. You're going to go to war simply because you believe, that someone is going to hurt you. And this jerk in Washington thought he even had evidence, weapons of mass destruction. Where is that today? We went to a war on weapons of mass destruction. The weapons are not there. So why are we still there? Ask your congressman that question. Next on the list, again, this is from My Way News. Let me take a look. Actually, this is a bit of information. Jill, would you read this?
Seattle Microsoft Corp. announced a shakeup Thursday of the unit that includes its flagship Windows operating system 2 days after the company admitted it won't have its next consumer version of Windows ready for the holiday season end.
Microsoft Corporation. We're talking about Bill Gates, folks. They're not going to have the new Windows operating system available. You know what I wish they would do? I wish Bill Gates would fix the existing systems. Let's take, as an example, Internet Explorer. It sucks. Big time. I would advise everybody out there, use Firefox. Stay out of Internet Explorer. As far as an operating system, Windows is terrible. It always has been. It's got too many glitches, folks. It's very unreliable. It's unstable. Ever notice that your system kind of goes up and down? It crashes. It burns. It goes unstuck. It's kind of like a drunk on a holiday. You never know what they're going to do. Will there ever be something besides Windows? There is now. The problem is they're not very popular. Why? Because Microsoft has a very good advertising department. And what they're doing is they're selling refrigerators to Eskimos. Windows sucks. And why are they delaying the next version? Because it's got a lot of holes in it. That's why. And this is just for fun. I would have Jill read this, and my voice is sore, but I got to read this one. This one is so funny. New Haven, Connecticut. Are you ready for this useful bit of information? Left-handed snails are better than righties at defending against predators, according to a new study that suggests lefties have the same competitive advantage in nature that they enjoy on the baseball diamond or in the box. It's true, folks. You get a lefty, especially in boxing. Boy, I tell you what, if you're not careful, you're going to go down. The study published in this month's Royal Society Biology Letters suggested snails whose shells coil toward the left were more likely to survive crab attacks than those whose shells coil towards the right. Isn't that interesting? Now, what am I going to do with that bit of information? I don't have a clue. I mean, I don't have a clue. Not a question I got to ask. You can guess what it is. What pool government gave a grant to study this? Does anybody give a damn about whether snails are lefties or righties? Does this make any sense to you folks? What did that grant do? Well, it supported some people at a university for a while. I guess it gave some students in biology some information about snails. How useful is it? Not much. Does it put bread on a poor person's table? Does it put a shelter over the head of the homeless? Or does it help one elderly person get medication? Nope. Totally pointless. But maybe that's what the world is turning into. Something totally, totally pointless. Okay, around the blogs. I finally got to it. I have 4 minutes left on this program, and I finally got to around the blogs. I got to read this one. I wish Jill could, but there's so much to say about it. I'm going to take the next 3 minutes on it. This is, quote, Nevin's Today's Crock of Crap Award. Yeah, I think I'm going to start handing it out every night, folks, if I can. Where does it come from? You know, you would think a crock of crap would be coming out of national media. Nope. This comes from a blogger at Parenthetical Remarks. This person is just plain stupid, but I'm going to read what they wrote. I agree with Sullivan's statement that religious faith with fanatical intolerance is disturbing. Of course, you find that in any and every religion. There are plenty of faithful Christian groups right here in America. And I just wrote the other day about some particularly distasteful remarks made by a Kabbalist rabbi. The problem is, and it is an indisputable one, there seems to be more of it in Muslim society. Now, folks, this person is full of crap. And they get the Crock of Crap Award today. This is nothing but bigotry and racial hatred coming from a blogger at Parenthetical Remarks. So what am I going to tell you? Don't ever go there again. When you see Parenthetical Remarks, avoid it. Don't read it. Don't support them. This is racial hatred and bigotry. There is nothing indisputable about that assertion. Remember the Spanish Inquisition? Not exactly a Tea Party. That didn't come out of the Muslim world. It came out of Christianity. Folks, just because it is on a blog does not make it any more credible than the crap we get from mainstream. So you at Parenthetical Remarks, shame on you. You get today's Crock of Crap Award to tell the public that it is an indisputable fact that there is more hatred among Muslim societies than anywhere else is a bunch of crap. You ought to be ashamed of yourselves. Jeez, I gotta get off this soapbox. You know, folks, do I get angry? Yeah. I mean, it seems like every night I cannot get through a news report without somebody saying something really stupid, full of bigotry and racial hatred. And it's coming from the blogs now. It's coming from the blogs. I'm sickened by it. Here's another one. I don't know how far we're going to get. I'll go over a minute, maybe. Let have my wife read this. Sweetie, would you read this? This is from The Agonist, by the way. Read the whole damn thing.
Henry L. Nyman is a sort of macabre bird watcher, trailing the deaths of chickens, ducks, and pigeons late at night by the glow of a computer monitor in the office of his suburban Pittsburgh home. There, the 57-year-old biochemist keeps vigil over a blog and an explosion of offshoot internet discussion groups tracking the avian flu virus across the world.
Okay. I have to stop, folks. I'm into my 6:45, since I'm the CEO of this organization, I got to stick with the rules, too. Listen, what I want you to do, track down Henry L. Nimmin. He seems to have some answers on the Saving the Blue. I don't know who he is, but go to jeffrench.com. I found an article about him. I don't have a clue, but if anyone has a handle on this possible epidemic, we should at least listen to what he has to say. Folks, I love you all, and I'm learning about it from my two best friends, Don and Doug. I really am. I love you all, and good night.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a Service.com production and a Service to Others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning in to our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.